This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not often when I read a text on air, but I'll just go ahead and read this one from Chip. I hate the new design of the Minnesota Star Tribune. I can't believe these people did it. It's a disaster. That's from you, right? Am I reading this correct?
You want this to be my last day as a
person? That is not.
I like it. I like our team.
It looks pretty good, right?
Yep. Yeah, it does look good. I like the some of the touches. You know, the when the columnists are they brought our pictures back instead of the drawings and yep. italics and just I like the overall vision of we're going to cover Minnesota as a state. Particularly with, you know, if you look at sports, what we're going to do, we're going to expand our preps coverage to statewide, not just the 7-county metro here. And so it's a new day, and I'm excited for it.
Well, I had on the publisher, Steve Grove, last hour, and I did say at the end, my father's been gone almost 4 years, but if this thing has any success, he's still going to take credit for it.
That he will. Listen, I hear his voice now in my head.
Yeah, they must be reading my old columns. That's why he somehow would be taking credit for it. Doesn't shock me. Okay, speaking of credit, let's talk about the Vikings. I'll say I recorded the Vikings game. I still haven't watched 1 second of it. I don't plan on. I heard a little bit of our guy Yadot, and I heard enough of PA and Pete talking about it, so that's good. I got it. They signed Gilmore. And yeah. So I'm gonna talk overall comparing the Twins and Vikings here, because I think the easy default is, well, the Vikings spend money, the Twins don't. And let me be clear, the Twins don't spend enough money, okay? But the Vikings were way below the cap. Okay, yeah. They didn't go well above the cap to sign Gilmore. They've stayed well below the cap. So before we throw all the bouquets to the Wilfs on this one, hey, they're just getting up to where a lot of other teams are already.
Yeah, but I think there's a track record of the Wilfs spending. I don't know if it's been the last couple of years, but, I mean, when you think, I go back to when I was on the beat with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You go out and you spend $20 million to get him because you feel like you're short. And the thing that this, what this does to me, it's interesting because – outside of their building, if you looked at the predictions, there's not a whole lot of people talking about the Vikings, but this is the kind of move when you go out and get a veteran and you're willing to spend up to $10 million for him for 1 year. That's a move that a team makes when they think, man, we're right there. Like we have a problem, a hole to fix, and you know we make that, and that's going to be a difference for us. So I give them credit when they see a problem area that they go address it, and this is – you know, Chad, their corner situation is obviously a
major problem.
It's a major problem. It's a result of different things. Obviously, the tragedy of Kyrie Jackson, Mekhi Blackmon tears his ACL. You can't, you know, anticipate that. But it's also drafting. Andrew Booth, Caleb Evans, they didn't turn out to be what you thought they were going to be. And so it's been a number of different causes for them to be in this situation. But they looked at it and said, okay, we have to do something here because this is not good enough. And so they went and did it. Now, I have no idea how much more Gilmore has. I mean, the fact that this is his, what, fourth team in 4 years? I guess when you get to that age, that tends to happen. So we'll see how much he has left. But on paper and just what he's going to bring you experience and all that, it's a good move for them. And I think you have – listen, if you're a fan and your owner's willing to spend money to improve the team – even if it doesn't work out, you have to applaud it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you're right about the Wilfs. Okay, I'm just saying in this case, I think it's worth people saying, okay, they were notably below the cap to get to this money. I'm just pointing that out. But I agree with you 100%. You know, and it's an interesting situation because I think we talked a little bit last year a few times that if Cousins leaves, do you plummet? Do you try to bottom out? But then can Kwesi do that? Now, since we've had the draft and they moved up one pick to get JJ, and then they grabbed Turner, and they gave up a lot for Turner, but man, I know you watch a ton of SEC football. If you watch any college football, you see Alabama. And I get college football is not the pro game, but man, he just looks like a pro to me. So I was fine giving up a fair amount to get him. I also think this sport, more than any other sport, Chip, there are four teams in each conference who make the playoffs, and you're like, how did they get there? You know,
every year.
Every year, single year it happens. And, you know, I'm torn on Darnold because there's no doubt that early on Darnold didn't have talent. But last year when he took over for Purdy, he's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Brendan Ayuk. He's got, why am I forgetting, 19?
Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel, right? He's got Trent Williams. So I think people in town, some of the folks who really taught the Vikings, are forgetting that machine he was behind last year, you know? So, I mean, they're in the mix enough, Chipper, where I think it makes enough sense, and I think everybody should do that unless you really have bottomed out.
Well, and there's the difference between winning and losing. Like I always say, the NFL, there's probably two or three really good teams and two or three really bad teams, and then just everyone else. And the difference between everyone else is really 2 minute drives at the end of the game. Do you put it together to make? I mean, it's really so fine. I mean, but you look at Kevin O'Connell's first year, the number of
craziness.
One-score games. Let's say they don't win half of those, and it's a totally different season. And so, but I talked to Mark Wilf at OTAs in the spring, and we were talking about the idea of, you know, I don't know if tanking, but just trying to rebuild to get better. And, you know, I may have mentioned the word tanking, and he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, he just started shaking. He said, that's not what we're ever going to do. And so I don't know that there ever is going to be a mandate. When you look at, like, what Chicago did the last couple of years, play a bunch of young guys, you know it's not going to look pretty, and then you hope to get, you know, Caleb Williams. I think there's still too many high-end players like Justin Jefferson. What are you going to tell him? We're tanking?
Yeah, right.
Like, how's that going to work out for you?
Darrisaw. They signed Grenard. Harrison Smith is still there. Cam Bynum, right? They have enough upper-level guys. And I see both sides because I do see the Chicago mentality of, man, now all of a sudden you got Caleb, you got Roma Dunzo. You know,
it worked out for them.
Yeah, right. There's not just one way to do it in this sport.
That's right. And so I think when you look at the way whether you want to call it the competitive rebuild or, you know, I think Kwesi's kind of sick of that term, even though he used it. I just think it's the way they position themselves with turning over the roster, getting younger, creating all kinds of cap space by, retooling the roster. That cap space is going to be a big thing for them next year. And so I think they're just, you know, I don't know what the expectations around, you know, the league are for them, but I can tell you internally, they're not looking at this as just kind of a tread and water type year until they can get that cap space and get J.J. McCarthy in there as their quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm not reacting in any way to Love in preseason. I certainly liked how he finished. I was floored. Mm-hmm. I was floored by the money they gave him after that little time. You know, and maybe again it's part three. Maybe, you know, we're talking about Love 8 years from now and he's on his second MVP. I buy into Goff, I buy into the Lions. I know the Bears have a lot of young guys, but that's a lot of young guys and a rookie kid. And I got to see Jordan Love. So I know there's intrigue about this division. I'm not convinced this division outside of the Lions that is quite as good as some people are projecting.
Yeah, I think the Packers.
Don't we need to see more of that guy?
You know, for sure. I mean, it was, you know, well, I think I told you before, when we were there covering the game, the first game last year, I left that building thinking, I don't know. I don't really see it. Some of the decisions he made, Jordan Love, I just, you know, you saw the talent, but the decision-making and you know, the instincts and some of that wasn't what you thought it'd be. And then they come here at the end of the year, and you're thinking, holy cow, they got another, you know, they've done it again. They got their franchise guy. And so, but yeah, I think you need to see more from him. The contract, that's when you got a quarterback that you think's the guy, the salary is going to be astronomical. So, but I do think I might be higher on the division than you are at this point. Cause I just think, I don't think there's any bad teams in this division. Yeah. That's the thing.
I just think there's still a lot of youth. And as the texter points out on Darnold, just circling back, it's not like Darnold played a lot for the 49ers last year.
True.
You know, he didn't, when he had a chance, you know, in the one game, he had good numbers. I'm just saying he was surrounded by talent last year. He's obviously have an opportunity to play a heck of a lot more this year. All right, let's pause. Let's talk about the Twins with Chip Scoggins, columnist for the Star Tribune, in moments on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got to get to one more item, Chipper, on the purple. Arrogant is obsessed with Chicago since they're starting. Is this, pot it up again. Is this, it's such a great song. Is this the greatest sports team song and dance? It's got to be, right?
We need to get a reenactment of that, right?
Do we have that? We don't really have a good the Twins did something.
A Juan Berenguer.
The Berenguer boogie.
Yes.
The Berenguer boogie.
That
yes.
That was very good.
Where he's in the trench coat.
Yes.
But there was one with, I think, the 91 Twins. I remember watching like a Herbeck Jack Morris video of something. But it seems like, I mean, just Ant. I mean, Ant as a personality, like, couldn't Ant do something? You know, I guess
He would be the most likely. The Wolves would be the most likely. They're kind of a goofy, fun group. I could see them maybe doing it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So on the Vikings, I follow the Lebatard show. And Lebatard is interviewing Tua, right? And Lebatard does more than just the Miami stuff, but it is Miami-centric. And as part of the interview, Tua talks about his former head coach, Brian Flores, who's the Vikings defense coordinator. And part of what Tua says, and I retweeted if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
If you woke up every morning and I told you that you suck at what you did, that you don't belong here, that you shouldn't be here, that you haven't earned this. And Tua is pointing that out as a contrast with Mike McDaniel, right? And so I saw it and I thought, whoa, what's going on? I mean, we love B-Flow here. Everything he's doing is right. So our mutual friend and your former colleague, Kevin Seifert, I see that he has a quote from O'Connell in, you know, fairly recently when somebody, maybe it was Kevin in particular, asked him, what do you want to say about what Tua said about Flores? And O'Connell said this: I don't particularly have a comment on something that took place with another team, or I don't like to comment on comments of other players and other teams. But I can tell you, I know that the players Flo works with, he's got a great relationship with here. He really has. I know Minnesota reporters have heard a lot of them talk about how much they enjoy playing for him and how much I enjoy working with him every day. And that's all I really can comment on. I just like to leave it at that, because there were other players in that Miami team who were not thrilled with Flores. But it was pretty startling when Tua, who's pretty much a franchise, upper-level, elite quarterback, finally just went out and cut up Brian Flores pretty strong in the interview.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. During our commercial break, I saw Seifert tweeted that out, and I didn't know what the context was, so I Googled it quick, and I saw the quotes from Tua. That's as frontal as you're ever going to see a player get by a coach.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard that. I assumed that was over the weekend, and I think O'Connell was having his presser while we were on, or just right before I came on.
I think so.
So that's where that came from. I haven't heard anything like that from a Vikings player in the short time that B-Flo's been here. I mean, it's all been positive, and guys, you know, have praised him for what he's done for them in their careers and the creativity and putting them in different spots to succeed. That's not to say I have no idea what happened at Miami with, you know, his relationships with players there. But just in terms of what I hear from Vikings players, I haven't sensed anything like that. So it's startling when you see a player come out and is that forthright and just, you know, frontal about his relationship with his former player or coach.
I'm trying to find it because I think there's a quote from Ryan Fitzgerald, you know, who was the quarterback for about every team but the Vikings. And I think those two had an issue, too. I'm trying to see if I can track that down. I think it's one of these stories that it goes away pretty quickly, though.
Sure.
You know, it's valid. And by the way, there still are football coaches who they're that way, Chip. You know this every bit, if not better than me. There's some coaches, they're not all Kevin O'Connell. They're not all Kevin Stefanski, where they're Mike Zimmer. They're Cheryl Reeve. They're tough.
Well, and I've been out enough practices where I see me flow. I mean, he does coach hard, but some of that stuff sounded different than coaching hard. I mean, that sounded, you know, something else.
And
who knows, you know, the whole Miami situation with, you know, obviously Ryan brought a lawsuit against the NFL and them. So, I mean, it's kind of like a messy situation. So I have no idea, like, how bad things were and what was going on. But I can just speak from what I hear from Vikings players, and I haven't got that sense at all. So who knows? But I agree with you. I don't know that he'll go, you know, very far. I don't think when Flores gets – I assume he'll get asked about it next time he speaks. I'm sure he'll deflect it.
Where it could be a factor is in the – let's say the Vikings have a very good year. And Flores gets interviewed. That's where it might come up a little bit. Okay, we got about 2 minutes to talk Twins. They find a way to win, and then they're in great position to win. And I think Rocco's a very good manager. I was surprised that Alcala was in there for the third straight game?
Third straight,
But you know what it does point out? And again, they got so many guys injured.
Yeah.
That bullpen still has questions. And if they ever get enough people back where they could have Paddock and Varlin back in the bullpen like they were in the playoffs, and then you're not working out, you're not overworking people, and then you've got them middle innings, and then you get to Alcala, you get to Jax, and you get to Duran. That's awfully impressive if they can get that situation set up. But even with the loss, 63 and 41 after that miserable start, when justifiably so, the two of us and others were crushing them for money.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic turnaround for a long time.
Chad, I was thinking about this the other day. It's been the weirdest season because they are three games out of having the best record in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it's like it feels like because of the injuries, because of the lack of deadline action. And I think it goes back to a lot of the fan frustration goes back to, you know, the Polad, Jim Polad's comments at the beginning of the season about not adding payroll. And so you started off on a bad foot, you know, both with the owner saying that and on the field. But this is a good team. I mean, it's 70 and 54, and they need to get some guys healthy. I agree with you. The depth in the bullpen is getting tested right now. They need to get guys back healthy. But this team, just every time you want to say, okay, here they come, here's the skid, they're not very good, they're too banged up, they don't have the key players, they just keep finding a way to win. I mean, Cray has been out he's going to be out for a month and a half, and now Buxton, but they just keep winning.
Well, if we'd have said they're 7-13, Lewis is going to miss 2 months, Correa's going to miss a month and a half, Joe Ryan, I had Falvey on the other day, Chip, and he said maybe end of September he can start throwing. Not he's ready to go, he can start throwing again. So I'm crossing him off the list. Pablo labored again yesterday. I know he didn't give up a run, but I don't trust Pablo against a quality team in the playoffs. He has done that. With all that happening, they have the best record in baseball after 7-13.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know, and it's like, but they've been resilient. I think maybe that's the word. They figure out a way to win. So it's been fun.
Right on. All right, man. We'll see you at the fair.
I will see you Monday there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Chipper.
See you, brother. Bye-bye.
Susie Jones. What sort of trouble has Susie caused? What happened with this water bottle? Who will she name drop? How much free stuff does she have so far? What can we discuss? By the way, how about Joe Biden speaks tonight? What if Joe goes scorched earth and says, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm back, baby.
In fact, Kamala, I fired you as VP. You know my new VP is? Hunter Biden. I'm not going anywhere. Susie's next. Here she is, causing trouble. Hopefully she's got a press pass. She is intrepid reporter Susan K. Jones. I heard earlier in the day, my friend, you had some water bottle controversy. I want to cover this like Woodward and Bernstein. I want every detail. If Joe Biden is sitting there, tell him to wait. I want to hear about the water bottle first. What happened?
Oh, it was terrible. I'm such a dork. So this water bottle is very special to me. In fact, I'm looking right at it. Here's what I'm going to tell you. So it's from Iceland. And Mom and I went on a holiday vacation to Iceland, and I got this wonderful water bottle. So I get in line, and I wait forever, and I finally find the right line to get in for credentials. And the man that's going through the, you know, metal detector says, you can't have this bottle. He goes, you either take it back to your hotel, put it in your car, or I throw it away. Well, I'm nowhere near where I'm staying, and I don't have a car. And I didn't want him to throw, I didn't want that. I wanted to keep that. That's a precious memory of my mother and I going to Iceland together. And anyway, so, you know me, I'm very resourceful and clever and sneaky.
Sneaky is the word Dave and I both were going for. And also, there's another one, willing to break the rules. You know, that's
willing to break the rules. So here's what happened. I said to him, well, I'm just going to go hide it out there somewhere. Once I get my credentials, I'll go get it. Well, he says, you better not do that, miss, because that'll cause an uproar among security.
Yeah, we had Secret Service there, Susie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, what are they going to do if I just stick that little water bottle in the flower bush? Anyway, I went out, and there was a volunteer station, and I said, I'm going to tell you this dorky story. This is a very special water bottle. Can I leave it with you guys? There's nothing in it. Just set it on this little table. I'll be back once I get my credentials. And they looked at me, and then they looked at each other, and then they said, okay. So I went in, and I stood in line forever to get my credentials.
Sounds like you're pleased with that.
Oh, it was a long line. And then I got out, and the volunteers were all gone.
Uh-oh.
But there was my water bottle.
Oh, it was still there.
Yeah, and so I have it. So I'm so happy, and I'm tired. You know, because every morning, you know, so last time I did this in Milwaukee, the schedule was different. I had, you know, I was following around the Republicans, and they had kind of different activities, like breakfast here, lunch here. Whereas every single day at 7:30, the Minnesota DFL party meets for breakfast at the Fairmont Millennial, which is fine. It's great. You know, you get tons of sound because they have lots of speakers. This morning, Peggy Flanagan, Amy Klobuchar, Keith Ellison, you know, just.
Royce so White, stop by?
No, Royce did not stop by. Anyway, the long and the short of it is.
It's too early for you. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Dave, that's it. Susie wants like a brunch.
Yes.
She wants like a 11 o'clock sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Or they speak into like a couple microphones as Susie leaves. And Susie gets at 11. There's a little breakfast. And then there's like some Tim Walz soundbite, you know, or Tina Smith has left a soundbite.
Mm-hmm. That would be very nice.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, I did it, and my sister was up early, and I said, call me at 5:30, so I'll probably be dead to the world, but I am going tonight, of course, to the United Center where President Joe Biden is going to speak and say goodbye and thank everybody for all the support. So that's the afternoon.
Yep.
What about the
possibility of this? I teased this before the break, that Joe gets up there and he says, you know what? You think you're not going to have Joe Biden to kick around? Kamala, come on up here. Kamala Harris comes up and he looks and he goes, You're fired. I'm not going anywhere. It's Joe bleeping Biden. Let's go.
I wonder if he feels bad. You know,
I
like
bet he does.
Steps out of it, you know, and the whole party ignites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
No, I mean, listen. Yeah. I think he needed to go. I made that point for about 18 months. I get destroyed by hundreds and hundreds of textures. And in the end, let me put my shoulder back in its socket because, yes, he needed to go. But I don't think there's any doubt because it's no fun if I can't quite go to this hypothetical. But if you're the president of the United States and all the top power brokers are working in some manner to get you to step away and you've won and you feel like you're underappreciated, even if you're not telling the truth about it, you're going to feel lousy.
Yes, exactly. So, but I'm sure he'll be gracious tonight and everyone will be very appreciative.
Yep.
I just interviewed a drag queen.
Oh, okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually waiting for this other caucus, the Palestinian Rights Caucus, because Keith Ellison is moderating a discussion. So I thought, you know, I'll go over and check that out. But
sure.
I got to the room early and it was the LGBTQ caucus.
Yep.
And they were talking about transgender and all the different issues that are important, including, I didn't know this because I'm not that informed on everything, there are actually bans or attempting to have bans on drag queen entertainers.
Yeah, that's been going on in the last few years. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway.
We're turning that into like, you know, they're drag queens that are coming and kidnapping your children, you know. Is that, Dave, that's happened a lot, right? What are we up to in Minnesota today? About 10,000?
Give or take.
Yeah, 10,000 on a daily basis. Okay, so the protest will be a huge part of this week. There's just no doubt that the left among Democrats, the majority of them, you know, as an example in Michigan, what was it? Like over 100,000 voted uncommitted, and that was dictated towards, they were mad at Biden, feeling like he wasn't strong enough and standing up to Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Ilhan Omar has been a part of that. Many other mm-hmm. Democrats in Minnesota have been a part of it. There mm-hmm. It's easy to think back to 68 and the chaos that took place. What is mm-hmm. your sense how that part of the story is going to play out? Because I think the Democrats are worried about that imaging, that they want to have this great euphoric week for Harris and Walz. But they're worried that the Israeli supporters and the Palestinian supporters are going to clash, and it potentially could dominate, at least visually, the headlines.
Well, at this moment, that's what I kind of was getting at and coming to this afternoon caucus here in just a few minutes, is this is the Palestinian Rights Caucus. So I'll be curious to find out what they're saying, if they say anything about a plan to hold some kind of a shouting match with on the floor or what have you. But so far, I haven't sensed it, but it's very early and people are just starting to gather. And there's a group of Palestinians right now in front of me, Palestinian supporters, who are going to discuss the issues that they want a part of this platform.
Well, and we're trying to get Congresswoman Omar on this week. We'll wait and see. We try. The way it works out a lot of times, Dave, is they reach out to us and then we'll say, well, what do you want to talk about? And we'll try to go back and forth and see if it makes sense. There is a feeling by some in the further left of the party that Harris might stand up more to Netanyahu than Biden has. But you also have Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, saying they're on the verge of a potential ceasefire agreement. But you're trying to trust Hamas, you know, so it's very interesting that all of this is going on at the same time.
Yes. And like you say, kind of remains to be seen how much of that dominates this week.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know me, I'll be here for it all.
And tired. And I'm assuming the water bottle now will stay at home, correct? You will not be bringing the water bottle back?
I will not be taking the water bottle with me at all.
Dave.
Anyway, well, we'll be in touch this week. Yep. I'll be careful.
Dave, is there any doubt we'll have another Susie controversy by this time tomorrow?
I'd like her to actually kind of stir it up if she could so we could get one every day.
Yeah. Okay. And if while you stir it up, you can shout out Chad Hartman Show, that'd be great.
See what other kind of contraband she can try to get through security.
Exactly. We love you. Be safe. We'll be listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Susie, she'll be all over the station reporting from Chicago. Jason's hometown. I want to get into this hometown silliness, too.
Finally, this station sounds like I've always dreamed it would. Mm. Celebrating the greatest city in the country.
Why don't you come out? I would actually love this if you just did 3 hours, how much
this
Chicago is just
superior,
better than Minneapolis.
Anyway, you had Susie Jones. I have Craig Delamore from News Radio 78 in Chicago.
Again, showing his true loyalty.
Yeah, that's right.
Who? Some fly-by-night guy?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here she is, causing trouble. Hopefully she's got a press pass. She is intrepid reporter Susan K. Jones. I heard earlier in the day, my friend, you had some water bottle controversy. I want to cover this like Woodward and Bernstein. I want every detail. If Joe Biden is sitting there, tell him to wait. I want to hear about the water bottle first. What happened?
Oh, it was terrible. I'm such a dork. So this water bottle is very special to me. In fact, I'm looking right at it. Here's what I'm going to tell you. So it's from Iceland. And Mom and I went on holiday vacation to Iceland, and I got this wonderful water bottle. So I get in line, and I wait forever, and I finally find the right line to get in for credentials. And the man that's going through the, you know, metal detector says, you can't have this bottle. He goes, you either take it back to your hotel, put it in your car, or I throw it away. Well, I'm nowhere near where I'm staying, and I don't have a car. And I didn't want him to throw, I didn't want that. I wanted to keep that. That's a precious memory of my mother and I going to Iceland together. And anyway, so, you know me, I'm very resourceful and clever and sneaky.
Sneaky is the word. Dave and I both were going for. And also, here's another one, willing to break the rules. You know, that's
willing to break the rules. So here's what happened. I said to him, well, I'm just going to go hide it out there somewhere. Once I get my credentials, I'll go get it. Well, he says, you better not do that, miss, because that'll cause an uproar among security.
Yeah, we got Secret Service there, Susie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, what are they going to do if I just stick that little water bottle in the flower bush? Anyway, I went out, and there was a volunteer station, and I said, I'm going to tell you this dorky story. This is a very special water bottle. Can I leave it with you guys? There's nothing in it. Just set it on this little table. I'll be back once I get my credentials. And they looked at me, and then they looked at each other, and then they said, okay. So I went in, and I stood in line forever to get my credentials.
Sounds like you're pleased with that.
Oh, it was a long line. And then I got out, and the volunteers were all gone.
Uh-oh.
But there was my water bottle.
Oh, it was still there.
Yeah, and so I have it. So I'm so happy, and I'm tired. You know, because every morning, you know, so last time I did this in Milwaukee, the schedule was different. I had, you know, I was following around the Republicans, and they had kind of different activities, like breakfast here, lunch here. Whereas every single day at 7:30, the Minnesota DFL party meets for breakfast at the Fairmont Millennial, which is fine. It's great. You know, you get tons of sound because they have lots of speakers. This morning, Peggy Flanagan, Amy Klobuchar, Keith Ellison, you know, just.
Royce White, stop by?
No, Royce did not stop by. Anyway, the long and the short of it is.
It's too early for you. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's, Dave,
it is
that's
early.
It. Susie wants like a brunch.
Yes.
She wants like a 11 o'clock sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or they speak into like a couple microphones as Susie leaves. And Susie gets at 11, there's a little breakfast, and then there's like some Tim Walz soundbite, you know, or Tina Smith has left a soundbite.
Mm-hmm. That would be very nice.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, I did it, and my sister was up early, and I said, call me at 5:30, so I'll probably be dead to the world, but I am going tonight, of course, to the United Center where President Joe Biden is going to speak and say goodbye and thank everybody for all the support. So. That's the afternoon.
Yep.
What about the
possibility of this? I teased this before the break. That Joe gets up there and he says, "You know what? You think you're not going to have Joe Biden to kick around? Kamala, come on up here." Kamala Harris comes up and he looks and he goes, "You're fired. I'm not going anywhere." It's Joe bleeping Biden. Let's go.
I wonder if he feels bad. You know,
I
like
bet he does.
Steps out of it, you know, and the whole party ignites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
No, I mean, listen. Yeah. I think he needed to go. I made that point for about 18 months. I get destroyed by hundreds and hundreds of textures. And in the end, let me put my shoulder back in its socket because, yes, he needed to go. But I don't think there's any doubt. Because it's no fun if I can't quite go to this hypothetical, but if you're the president of the United States and all the top power brokers are working in some manner to get you to step away and you've won and you feel like you're underappreciated, even if you're not telling the truth about it, you're going to feel lousy.
Yes, exactly. So, but I'm sure he'll be gracious tonight, and everyone will be very appreciative.
Yep.
I just interviewed a drag queen.
Oh, okay.
You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually waiting for this other caucus, the Palestinian Rights Caucus, because Keith Ellison is moderating a discussion. So I thought, you know, I'll go over and check that out. But
sure.
I got to the room early, and it was the LGBTQ caucus.
Yep.
And they were talking about transgender and all the different issues that are important, including, I didn't know this because I'm not that informed on everything, there are actually bans or attempting to have bans on drag queen entertainers.
Yeah, that's been going on in the last few years. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway.
We're turning that into like, you know, they're drag queens that are coming and kidnapping your children, you know. Because that, Dave, that's happened a lot, right? What are we up to in Minnesota today? About 10,000?
Give or take.
Yeah, 10,000 on a daily basis. Okay, so the protest will be a huge part of this week. There's just no doubt that the left among Democrats, the majority of them, you know, as an example in Michigan, what was it? Like over 100,000 voted uncommitted, and that was dictated towards they were mad at Biden, feeling like he wasn't strong enough in standing up to Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
Ilhan Omar has been a part of that. Many other mm-hmm. Democrats in Minnesota have been a part of it. There mm-hmm. It's easy to think back to 68 and the chaos that took place. What is mm-hmm. your sense how that part of the story is going to play out? Because I think the Democrats are worried about that imaging. That they want to have this great euphoric week for Harris and Walz, but they're worried that the Israeli supporters and the Palestinian supporters are going to clash, and it potentially could dominate, at least visually, the headlines.
Well, at this moment, that's what I kind of was getting at and coming to this afternoon caucus here in just a few minutes, is this is the Palestinian Rights Caucus, so it'll be curious. I'll be curious to find out what they're saying, if they say anything about a plan to hold some kind of a shouting match with on the floor or what have you. But so far, I haven't sensed it, but it's very early and people are just starting to gather. And there's a group of Palestinians right now in front of me, Palestinian supporters, who are going to discuss the issues that they want a part of this platform.
Well, and what is, and we're trying to get Congresswoman Omar on this week. We'll wait and see. We try. The way it works out a lot of times, Dave, is they reach out to us, and then we'll say, well, what do you want to talk about? And we'll try to go back and forth and see if it makes sense. There is a feeling by some in the further left of the party that Harris might stand up more to Netanyahu than Biden has. But you also have Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, saying they're on the verge of a potential ceasefire agreement, but you're trying to trust Hamas, you know? So it's very interesting that all of this is going on at the same time.
Yes. And like you say, kind of remains to be seen how much of that dominates this week.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know me, I'll be here for it all.
And tired. And I'm assuming the water bottle now will stay at home, correct? You will not be bringing the water bottle back?
I will not be taking the water bottle with me at all.
Dave.
Anyway, well, we'll be in touch this week. Yep. I'll be careful.
Dave, is there any doubt we'll have another Susie controversy by this time tomorrow?
I'd like her to actually kind of stir it up if she could, so we could get one every day.
Yeah. Okay. And if while you stir it up, you can shout out Chad Hartman Show, that'd be great.
See what other kind of contraband she can try to get through security.
Exactly. We love you. Be safe. We'll be listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Susie, she'll be all over the station reporting from Chicago. Jason's hometown. I want to get to this hometown silliness, too.
Finally, this station sounds like I've always dreamed it would. Celebrating the greatest city in the country.
Why don't you come out? I would actually love this if you just did 3 hours, how much
this
Chicago is just
superior,
better than Minneapolis. Anyway,
you had Susie Jones. I have Craig Delamore from News Radio 78 in Chicago.
Again, showing his true loyalty.
Yeah, that's right.
Who? Some fly-by-night guy? I mean, I figured you'd have...
I was told I couldn't get Susie. Too busy.
She's too busy.
That's what the bosses told me.
We just did water bottle talk for 5 minutes.
I heard. I'm like, it sounds like she's swamped. But I got Craig Delamore. Take that.
Dave Arrigan yesterday. Is that a real name? Craig Delamore?
It sounds
Delamore.
Too darn good. I mean, it sounds
like he's got a, I mean,
is does he related sound like to Tom Delmonico?
Should I start and say, like, I grew up listening to you? I think people love to hear that, right?
What if he turns out he's 34?
Right. Yeah. You know? Such
actually,
a fraud.
Actually, Delmonico did text me. I think we are going to have him on one of the next couple of days.
Oh, is he?
All right.
Is he?
Well, you know, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. You know who's obsessed with the walls going back to Nebraska and the hometown thing? Who do you think is? Mutual friend of ours. Blois. Blois keeps bringing it up like hometown.
Has Blois gone straight righty? Do you think, like, is he all in? Is he just plant? Because Blois has some similarities with me that he likes to just play the contrarian.
He's a morpher.
He just goes in the opposite direction.
I thought the points he made a couple weeks ago, I think you had them.
They were good, yeah.
I thought they were excellent.
Yeah.
But it's also Blois playing to the crowd a little bit.
You just don't know.
But
that's the fun.
He was born in Nebraska. I don't think that means
it's fine.
He told Minnesota,
right,
you're dead
pound
to me.
Sand. To me, the worst pandering of all time was Amy Klobuchar, who refused to say if she thought the Minnesota State Fair was better than the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
Have some.
Probably got mad at staff about
it. take the hit. Just pick one. It doesn't matter.
You know what you should say? Yeah, Minnesota's better.
Minnesota's better. Can't wait to go to the Iowa State Fair, but let's get real. I live in Minnesota. It's not that hard.
I'll give you an example. So the U.S. Amateur at Hazeltine, Bafo Week, yesterday. There's a kid from Spain who wins. He attends the finest academic school in America, Arizona State, against a kid from Iowa, right?
Right.
And a couple of people on Twitter and a couple of friends are like, God, well, of course you're cheering for the guy from Iowa, right? No, I'm not.
No.
I'm cheering for the guy from ASU.
Right.
And the guy goes, he's an American. I go,
come on.
The kid from Iowa's not playing a guy from Hamas.
Right.
I mean, it's not Putin. It's a Spaniard, and he's from my college. So, yeah. Bravo, ASU.
It's wonderful.
If he had his Hamas flag on, it would have been a bit that different, but he didn't.
Then you'd have to think about it, wouldn't?
Well, I probably
not
still,
a lock, but...
Yeah,
you know.
That'd be a bit of a debate. Right. Let's talk a little Canopy, and then Jason's going to take you home and brag about Chicago. Jason's hometown. I want to get into this hometown silliness, too.
Finally, this station sounds like I've always dreamed it would. Mm. Celebrating the greatest city in the country.
Why don't you come out? I would actually love this if you just did 3 hours, how much
this
Chicago is just
superior,
better than Minneapolis in anyway.
You had Susie Jones. I have Craig Delamore from News Radio 78 in Chicago.
Again, showing his true loyalty.
Yeah. That's right.
Who? Some fly-by-night guy? I mean, I figured you'd have...
I was told I couldn't get Susie. Too busy.
She's too busy?
That's what the bosses told me.
We just did water bottle talk for 5 minutes.
I heard. I'm like, it sounds like she's swamped. But I got Craig Delamore. Take that.
I don't think... Dave Arrogant yesterday, is that a real name? Craig Delamore?
It sounds
Delamore.
Too darn good. I mean, it sounds...
Is
he related like to Tom Delmonico?
Should I start and say, like, I grew up listening to you? I think people love to hear that, right?
What if he turns out he's 34?
Right. Yeah. You know? Such
actually,
a fraud.
Actually, Delmonico did text me. I think we are going to have him on one of the next couple
of
days.
Is he?
All right.
Is he?
Well, you know, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. You know who's obsessed with the walls going back to Nebraska and the hometown thing? Who do you think is? Mutual friend of ours. Blois. Blois keeps bringing it up like hometown.
Has Blois gone straight righty? Do you think, like, is he all in? Is he just plant? Because Blois has some similarities with me that he likes to just play the contrarian.
He's a morpher.
He just goes in the opposite direction.
I thought the points he made a couple weeks ago, I think you had them.
They were good, yeah.
I thought they were excellent.
Yeah.
And it's also Blois playing to the crowd a little bit.
You just don't know.
But never,
that's the fun.
He was born in Nebraska. I don't think that means
it's fine.
He told Minnesota,
right.
You're dead
pound
to me.
Sand. To me, the worst pandering of all time was Amy Klobuchar, who refused to say if she thought the Minnesota State Fair was better than the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
Have some...
Probably got mad at staff about
like
it.
Like, take the hit. Just pick one. It doesn't matter.
You know what you should say? Yeah, Minnesota's better.
Minnesota's better. Can't wait to go to the Iowa State Fair, but let's get real. I live in Minnesota. It's not that hard.
I'll give you an example. So the U.S. Amateur at Hazeltine, Bafo Week, yesterday, there's a kid from Spain who wins. He attends the finest academic school in America, Arizona State, against a kid from Iowa, right?
Right.
And a couple of people on Twitter and a couple of friends are like, God, well, of course you're cheering for the guy from Iowa, right? No, I'm not.
No.
I'm cheering for the guy from ASU.
Right.
And the guy goes, he's an American. I go,
come on.
The kid from Iowa's not playing a guy from Hamas.
Right.
I mean, it's not Putin. It's a Spaniard, and he's from my college. So, bravo, ASU.
It's wonderful.
If he had his Hamas flag on, it would have been a bit different, but he didn't.
Then you'd have to think about it, wouldn't?
Well, I probably
not
still.
A lock, but...
That'd be a bit of a debate. Right. Let's talk a little Canopy, and then Jason's going to take you home and brag about Chicago.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.